Today's guest on Talking Business is the business teacher at the Newark Valley High School. She runs and manages the cafe there called The Nest, and she teaches a variety of business classes and helps mentor students prepare for the workplace. Today's guest, Miss Katia Darcy. Katia, what's going on?
Not much. You know, just preparing for Christmas break and all the fun activities with that.
Okay, cool. Cool. So it's been a while since I've been in to talk to your class about different topics and stuff. But what kind of subjects or what topics have you been teaching the first half of the year here?
The first half of the year, I have a marketing class, an accounting class, personal money management, which is personal finance, a customer service class, and then the second half of the year, there will be a typing class as well. And then there's also the Nest that's run all year.
Gotcha. So as far as the curriculum goes, how do you decide the subjects that you teach? Is it tied to a work-based learning program at all, or is it all just state mandated, or what's going on with the curriculum?
No. It was kind of set up by the previous business teacher.
Okay.
And then I took over those classes because it was what they already had in the course catalogs and stuff. So I added marketing, which was taught before by a different business teacher, but not the one I took over for. And then we've also added, which is not taught this year, it's taught on the opposite years of accounting, business law and entrepreneurship. And then the typing class we used to have, but it's new again this year. It's a 20-week course. We used to be able to get college credit for it. They don't offer it through TC3 anymore. But our personal money management class is offered for college credit. So that's what kind of dictates what I teach in there.
Personal money management. Oh, cool. So you have all of these courses that you're taking in. They're kind of can be applied because your business department runs a actual business called The Nest. And what are you guys selling there?
It's more of a, I would say, convenient type shop. We don't really do like we make hot coffee and iced coffee, but we're not making the fancy lattes at cafes. It's a lot of prepackaged foods. Again, like our big sellers would be bagels and pretzels, and we have smoothies and things of that nature. We'd like to run specials every once in a while. We just finished running a Little Debbie's Christmas tree cake special, which was a big hit.
Shout out Little Debbie.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get sponsored.
Doubt it.
But yeah, that we'll do like milkshakes. That's usually a big day. So there's little things. We do, you know, partner with other businesses in there in the sense to get like a better discount on some of our food that we provide. And then after all the sales are done at the end of the year, our seniors that are leaving, obviously, they get a scholarship, which really isn't for just college. They just get written a check at the end of the year based on how many years they've worked and what type of service they have lent to The Nest.
Nice. So it's a service-based compensation. So they're putting all the sweat equity in through the year, and then they get a nice check when they're all done.
Yes.
That's cool.
For the most part.
That's cool. When I was in school, we had a cafe, and we had a school store. The school store sold merch and candy and some other stuff, but... And then the cafe had coffee, you know, Big Texas, cinnamon
that's a
buns.
Popular
oh,
item.
Oh, it's a hot item. Mm-hmm. Big Tex. Yeah, they're pretty. You feel kind of crappy after you eat one of those. But then there was like the intense chocolate milks and stuff. I used to always get one of those in like a bagel. But it's good. It fills a good void or a niche. Do you say niche or niche?
Niche.
Niche. You're one of the a niche person, huh? I don't know what is the right way. You're the teacher. Is it niche? Obviously, the way you say it.
Well, yeah, but
teacher's always right, right?
Nah, not always, but I usually am.
Not always. A niche product, you know, fills a niche. I'm going to stop saying it now.
Yeah, because, you know, the cafeteria, they try to do a lot of different things, and they do have some good stuff, but, you know, you don't always want a breakfast sandwich. You don't always want thing of cereal for breakfast. Maybe you want something a little bit different. So getting a bagel with cream cheese might be something more towards your liking. Or randomly, jalapeno stuffed pretzels.
Jalapeno stuffed pretzels. Yes. So you're finding all these different products, and you're actually doing a ton of things that business owners should be thinking about doing. I remember you facilitated a survey to the school, right, for what you should be offering?
Yes, our marketing classes in the past have done surveys for what people want to see at the Nest, like based on products they've wanted to bring in. And then we also will do, like last year we did we called it March Munchness. So it was a competition between different products to see what products should be featured and be new in the Nest. So out of that, we got Nesquik chocolate milk, and we got V8 energy drinks, which are not the scary energy drinks, because I won't let them.
They're one of the healthier ones. I think they're just loaded with B vitamins.
I think it has as much caffeine as like a cup of coffee. And yeah, they're sad because I won't let them get Monsters or Celsius in the Nest. But
I feel like you couldn't make money on those because they're so expensive per.
Oh, I think I could make a lot of money, but I also think that I would have a lot of kids that crash halfway through the day, and that wouldn't be good.
You have a moral compass. You don't want to be selling Red Bulls to a bunch of teenagers.
Yes, because they would just drink too many of them.
Yeah, I feel like that there's like this fine line of, in business, finding the ethical and moral values and staying within those guidelines for yourself sometimes.
It'd
be a challenge.
We have guidelines in the sense that we aren't necessarily allowed to sell like candy and stuff like that. But I mean, we do sell things like cookies every once in a while, then Little Debbie's cakes. You know, obviously a milkshake has a lot of sugar and stuff like that in it, but they're not usually regular products either. What the biggest thing I've noticed with it is that everything is cyclical. So one product could be very, very enticing one year and a hot product, and then all of a sudden, kids don't want it anymore.
Trends change.
Yeah, and it'll become something else. Like when we first got the jalapeno stuffed pretzels, I would not go through them as quickly as I do now. They're one of the top sellers probably right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that there's someone listening to this that is thinking about going into business. What would you tell them they need to do before investing any money or time into this business? What are some few things?
Like a high school student or
anyone? We could stick to high school students because you're used to talking to them. We'll stay in your lane. So let's pretend you have a senior who's graduating in June and they're like, Miss Darcy, when I get done with school, I want to go be a business owner. Okay. What's that process look like for you?
I think the one thing I tell them, and I can't come at it in the sense that I am an entrepreneur because I'm not.
You technically are. You run the nest. That's your...
But I didn't start that from the ground up. That was there and I took it over.
So I guess what does every business need?
I think anytime a kid tells me they want to go into business, I will ask them what they want to do. And sometimes they're like, I don't know. I just want to own a business. And I guess I kind of tell them that you need to find the thing you know a lot about and that you are very passionate about, because passion tends to show through when you are conducting business. You also, it's hard to learn a new skill or a new whatever when you're also trying to learn how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're doing very, very well, I guess. Like, if you're really passionate about working out and going to the gym and stuff like that, that might be an avenue you need to explore. Maybe it doesn't mean you own your own gym someday, but maybe it means you develop a new brand of athletic clothing, or shoes, or different products in that sense. And if you have a great idea, but you're lacking maybe some of the other skills you would need, you need to find someone who can help you with that. So let's say you want to develop a health app, right, that tracks some sort of health thing. Find someone who knows how to build an app, because you might not. You might know exactly what this app needs to have in order to be successful, but you don't know how to actually make it. Then find someone who does and that you trust.
Yeah. For me, I think I would tell them, yes, you need to be passionate about whatever it is that you want to do. You got to understand it's not always all about the money when it comes to business. We talk a lot about on this podcast, you treat people right and you do well, you do good by others and it comes back to you. Being a good business owner hand in hand comes down to being a good person. That doesn't mean having loose business practices, but you know, people who take care of their customers and do right by their customers will build loyalty. I think for someone who's go ahead.
Well, I would say that's not just being a good business owner, because it is. That's also just being a good employee, human being. Like, yes, people get far with being a bad person.
Being talented.
And being talented.
Or, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, who do people want to be associated with? They want to be associated with people who are good people.
Correct.
Because if you surround yourself with good people, then you look like a good person.
Right.
So it's not just being a good business owner. It's also having that transferable skill of being a good employee, right? Like, if you are good to people, your employer will see that and say, oh, this person seems like they're a good employer. They have good customer service skills, which is something we teach, which is soft skills. Being able to communicate with people and, you know, the old adage of, you know, the customer is always right.
Mm-hmm.
I like to turn that around and say the customer isn't always right, but a good customer service representative makes them think they are, even right. if they're not. Right. So
it's all about how you communicate and articulate the message, your delivery.
Right. And that's, again, taking care of people and making sure your products are something that are good, products or service, something that are good and that they want. So filling a need is also another big thing. And also, you know, treating them like human beings and not just a customer.
Yeah. I think at the center of every good business, though, whether you're looking to sell a product or a service, I think that you have to understand what it is. What problem are you solving?
Yeah. Right.
For the customer. Because why would they pay you?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And how much will they pay you? And in the eye of the customer, what's the value that you're bringing to them? Articulating your value.
And I think that's very difficult for people, especially in like high school. I see when we do projects where they're creating a brand or they're creating products. I've kind of changed how I do that now because it was almost too broad for them. And I would say, well, what would you want to see in your life? Like, what need do you need fulfilled
mm-hmm.
that does not already exist? And it was too much sometimes for them to think about. Because, I mean, especially a high schooler's world is a lot smaller than once you get out into the quote-unquote real world.
Sure.
But I think that, yes, you have to be able to create something that fulfills a need, because what differentiates you from someone else? And then at the same time, you know, usually if you can think of, well, what would make my life easier, or what is something that I would like to have, there are a lot of other people out there that think the same way.
Right. Like everyone out there who has dogs and has dog hair all the time that they've got to clean up, or, you know, something like you have a couch that the hair sticks to and doesn't come off even with a vacuum cleaner. You wonder, man, I wish there was a product that wasn't just a standard lint roller, or so, like the Chom Chom, you know, because the Chom Chom works. It's not 100% effective, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could just get a hairless dog.
Who would want that?
A lot of people.
No.
You can enter the ugliest dog contest and win money.
That's rude. That's so mean to do to the dogs.
Hey, you know, they're still getting love.
I guess. Yeah, so work-based learning is becoming common now in the schools. What can you talk a little bit about that?
There's definitely more of a push for it to move, I think, from like just BOCES programs to expanding to schools, and trying to provide stuff in-house. It makes it a little bit easier for our students in the sense that, like, right now at the school, there's a youth apprenticeship program that is run not technically through the school, but it's at the school. So we have students running or helping out in classrooms. So we have TAs. We have students that help with maintenance and like grounds and things like that. So they're getting to learn these skills, and they get paid for them while they're doing it. Again, it's like an apprenticeship program, or it's like some other form of cooperative work and education program. But they're definitely looking for more of this because they want kids to be able to experience jobs before they get out and decide, I want to go to college for this. And then they go to college and not like it. Or, you know, trying to give them kind of a leg up. It always looks good when you can say, hey, we have this many kids graduating and this many of them already have jobs lined up after they leave. So that's just another way to kind of prepare students for the workforce. Work-based learning is getting more important, I think, because the state is starting to look at changing some of the stuff, like the standards for graduation and things. And I think part of that, we could use some more work-based learning. It is definitely something I think most, if not all, districts are looking at, is trying to get work-based learning coordinators and work-based learning at their school, because it's one more way for them to also reach the community mm-hmm. as well.
You had to take an extra class for this to be able to be certified?
Two, yes. And there's an hours worked outside of a school minimum two.
So you have had to have worked another job other than being in school?
Than a teacher, yes.
Really? That's got to really limit the
It does.
Candidates to be able to do it.
But you'd be surprised at how many teachers
came from an outside job?
Have come from outside jobs, yes. So it's not...
So it's going to help kind of fast-track students into understanding what it is they want to do. Because what all we had in school was like home and careers, and they would tell us to go sit at a computer and you take a personality test. And it's like, I'm outgoing. I like to go play sports. I like to do this. And it's like, I'm in seventh grade. I don't know. I'm just filling out this thing. It's like, you're most likely to be in sports management or something. It's like, okay.
Well, that's something I actually do still do. I will do an assessment with them. But I tell kids, too, I'm like, listen, you're going to get some results and you're going to think, what the heck is this?
It's you're not going to know until you get out and actually do something and see what work-life culture is like and corporate culture and whatever. Like, there's people who are going to be okay with just working a 9-to-5 job and getting paid a salary or hourly wage. And then there's people like myself who are like, no, I don't want to stay within guardrails of a certain company and structure. I want to have the freedom to go do what I want, run a business the way I want to run it, and not have anyone telling me. Like, I like to learn on my own and get paid for the work that I'm doing, right? And so there, I feel like the only way for kids to do that is to internship, and I don't think it's appropriate for first-time internships to be your junior year of college. Because what if you go and intern for a major and you're like, oh, this isn't what I want to do?
Well, I mean, there's also the whole fact that there are people who've gone through an entire teaching degree to get to the student teaching, which is usually like your senior year of college, to realize a week into it they hate teaching and they don't want to do it. So like these work-based learning programs allow them to do that. We also have a lot of kids, especially in small districts like Newark Valley, where you have kids that are pulled in every direction. We have the athletes are not just athletes. They are athletes, they are academics, and they are, you know, they're also the people who are in clubs, right? So you don't have those like bookworms who are the only ones, you know, the only thing they do after school is just study, study, study. You don't have people that are only participating in sports. You have people that are all over the place. So what it allows is for some of these kids who wouldn't have time to work a job outside of school to actually make some money too, which is kind of nice. Because, you know, I mean, it gives them that little bit of sense of freedom. It also teaches them about paychecks and how to budget your money, and which I think we could all do a little bit better usually. Some people are very good at it. I think most people, even if you have a budget, you're like, it's okay. But, you know, it kind of teaches them that early on.
It's one thing to have a budget. It's another thing to stick to it.
That is very true.
It all looks good on paper, just like everything else, but you got to go have the discipline to stick to it.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
On the topic of internships, and just for, I think that any kid that has the privilege to take their time and choose, like for me, I was like, my mindset was that business, going into business, was going to be the easiest way to get a job in the local area. So I did an internship through the bank, which paid like in 11th grade was paying $11 an hour. And in 2011, that's probably like making like $16. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe like $15 an hour. It was like pretty good starting pay.
Well, you got to remember minimum wage now is $15.50.
Yeah. Minimum wage back then was $7 an hour.
Was it?
Yeah. My second job, I did a little regression. I went to a credit union and I was like, this job is too real for me. And then I went and worked at McDonald's for a summer.
Yes.
Before school. Made 7 1/4.
So federal minimum wage now.
Yeah. But at that time, $11 an hour was the same. it was the same amount of money my dad was getting on unemployment at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know, just being like, oh, this is safe. This is secure. This is giving us, being able to step out of your comfort zone and just try other things. I think once you get into a certain point in life, you're more likely to just settle down with that job or career.
Yeah, I think that's true of a lot of people. I do think it is good for them to get exposure to different careers. It's also why we've done like career panels and career exploration things with them. Sometimes I think they don't fully understand how great of an opportunity it is to get to talk to business owners. Some of them obviously do. Some of them are looking to get out of class. But it is nice for, especially if you can get businesses they're interested in. We have a lot of kids that like to go into, that are interested in going into the trades. So trying to get trades to come in and talk to them would be something that they would actually find useful or interesting. Whereas, having someone who does, software engineering might not be the best fit for some of those kids.
It depends on school, the school district.
Well, and it depends on your group of students.
Right. Is there going to be another panel this year at the school?
I'm not 100% sure. I do know we have a career exploration day kind of set up with visions right now to look at some of the different branches that mm-hmm. they have and different things that you can do, which mm-hmm. I think is really good for students to realize that, if you want to go into marketing, you don't have to go to a marketing firm to work in marketing. You can work for another company, not necessarily Visions, right. but for a business and do marketing for them.
Right. You got to pay your dues and take the entry level job, learn the business. They're going to, that's what they're going to have to understand.
That's the hardest thing to learn.
It's the hardest thing to learn. And I think that's what I was mentioning before. If you want to follow the corporate structure, and I don't want to talk negatively and discourage kids, but if you're going to go that route, you got to know how to play the game and you got to put your time in. And eventually what you want to do will come up as an opportunity and you'll be able to apply for it. But chances are a lot of times people take jobs at companies saying, well, I came here with a marketing degree, but I'm over here and doing this because they don't have any openings over there, but this is the company I want to work for. Right. So there's trade-offs. I think,
Yeah.
Without being too real with students, I just think, because you don't want to to discourage them, but at the same time.
Well, no, because you can always work your way.
But you got to set the expectation that, look, you're not just going to show up on day one and be like, okay, I'm ready for.
Yes.
I'm ready for this.
And I think that's a hard lesson a lot of people learn even outside of college.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I was going to go into marketing, and then you're not. In marketing, you're in data analytics right now, and you're going to move to maybe marketing in a few years. But yeah, you got to work in customer service first or something. I mean, mm-hmm. I had a marketing internship, and then I went and worked customer service, and that was not exactly what I was hoping to do.
Customer service desks, where you're going to build your thick skin, because everybody talks down to you at that position and they take everything out on you.
Yes, you also learn very quickly if that level of customer service is right for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think what helped me, and again, we talk about this a lot, right now we're getting into soft skills, which in my opinion are transferable skills to almost any job you could have.
Absolutely.
And to me, working in cafes is a lot more difficult than it appears. I worked in cafes in high school and college, and
you were a barista.
I was. And no one seems to get madder than the customer you accidentally mess up their coffee order.
They haven't had any caffeine today, and they're looking forward to that caffeine hit, and you give them the wrong thing or it doesn't taste right. Mm-mm-mm.
But on the flip side of that is you don't have anyone happier than the person who got the drink they've been waiting to get.
True.
All day, and they take that first sip of whatever latte.
See their face,
and you can see the relief wash over them.
It's kind of like when I may mess up a pot of coffee and it comes out tasting like water or something. You know, it's like,
are you trying to make a dig at my coffee yesterday?
No, 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 no. I've messed up pots of coffee before, and it's devastating. Because you're like, just want to enjoy that cup of coffee. It's the first thing you're going to do in the morning, have a cup of coffee. That thing, that first thing of the day has to go right, right? I mean,
yeah.
When that doesn't go right, it's like, okay, now I got to.
It feels like a very controllable thing in an uncontrollable world.
Mm-hmm. It's like, let's get the cup of coffee right first.
Yep. Good cup of coffee makes you feel good. But again, to go back, it's all, everything led to where it did, but all of those skills were learned over time.
It takes time. In any career path, you're going to have a maturation process. And that just going to take time for you to learn how to, you know, cope with the work environment, cope with the 8-to-5, when to hit the gas, when to pump the brakes so you don't burn out, all these things. There's all these skills that you're going to have to develop. And, you really need to love what you do, in my opinion. And don't just settle, kind of the comment I made about having the internship at $11 an hour. It's like, yeah, I made good money, but I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. And so I took a step back and took a job that paid half less because I was young. And I wanted to spend time with my friends, and I felt that was important to have more of a flexible schedule. I wasn't ready for an 8-to-5 job yet, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then I started to learn more about myself through college and things, and turns out, you know, I was more in a freelance mindset, you know, sales type job, relationship business personality that I gave me autonomy and flexibility of my own schedule.
We do a project called a career roadmap, and it's a curriculum that I use online. And the driving question behind picking a career is, what is the thing you can't not do? So what is something,
a double negative?
Yeah. Trips them up. What is the thing that you feel like you have to always be able to do? So, and try to incorporate that. Or I like to tell people, picture the life you want someday and find the job or create the business or whatever it might be that fits into that. Because at the end of the day, you don't want your job to be your life. You want your job to be something that helps support your life and overall goals as a human being.
That's very nicely said.
Thanks.
Very wise.
Yes.
Very wise, Grasshopper. Well,
I did take a personality test, and it said that I was 48 when I was 19. So.
Oh, boy. I wonder what my personality test
would
come
back with.
Well,
sorry, my mental age was 48.
What would mine be?
Like 7.
7? Oh, my God.
Maybe.
My mental age?
6, 7.
Oh. Oh, my God.
I deal with high schoolers all day.
I'm not cutting that out. I'm letting that ride. Well, that sounds like a pretty good place to depart here.
Okay.
On today's episode of Talking Business, we had Miss Darcy She's a business teacher at Newark Valley High School, and she's doing a lot of great things for the up-and-coming generations who are going to be our future business owners and professionals. And I do say that we need to invest in our youth because they're the ones, they're the future doctors, nurses, people who are going to be taking care of us. So we need to take care of them and invest in them.
I will say you shouldn't be as scared as everyone makes it seem. So that they are going to be taking care of us someday. There's a lot of really great kids. So
yeah, there are. She's right. I've met some of them. There's some cool kids out there. Remind me a bit of myself, honestly, sometimes. but it's been a great episode. Hope you guys tune in. If you keep an eye on our website, northerntiogachamber.org, if you want to make a donation to our nonprofit. We focus on helping local business owners get their start and supporting our business community out in Northern Tioga and beyond. We will be coming out with some merch, hopefully in the new year, that will be displayed on our website at some point. We'll let you know when that comes out. But thanks for listening, and tune in to next week when we have Pastor Jay and JoJo on, and they're going to talk about some things they're doing over at the Church of Nazarene in Owego and Christmas time, and kind of looping in some business convo with that as well.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on, Ms. Darcy.